The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show, Your Money with David Hayes. Back after, what, a week, 2 week hiatus, we had the gift giving show that Jim Emmon Jr. and I did, and we replayed it on Thanksgiving, and then that Saturday as well. So if you didn't get any good ideas out of that, I apologize, but hopefully you had a few. Man, what a busy week last week. It was incredible. We were at, we had the Canopy Lights on Friday night after Thanksgiving on Thursday. We had stuff going on Wednesday night, the bucket game on Saturday. Sunday afternoon was the time for the Hayes family to put their Christmas tree up and decorate inside, so we did that as well. And then off to the races on Monday. I got into the office around 7:45 on Monday morning, and our office is very peppy in the morning. It's like, good morning, good morning, good morning. And, you know, how was your Thanksgiving? And I said, well, it was great. We had a great Thanksgiving, but I am grateful to be back here at the office so I can relax. Not that the office environment's always relaxing, but when you went as hard as I did for, you know, basically five solid days, it was good to be back home, home being the office. But it was a good one. In fact, you know, the enthusiasm last week for stocks remained strong. Even though we had a holiday shortened week, the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, they were all up. The stock market continued to look towards the bond market for direction and continued to do that this week as well. We'll have Rod on in just a few minutes to talk about that. It responded to positive bond yields that fell steadily for much of the week. This was good to know. A successful 20-year Treasury note auction on Monday that triggered a decline in bond yields. Remember, I told you, I think last time I was with you live, that they struggled when they did a bond sale auction, and the Treasury had to buy back, I think, well over 20-some percent of the issuance. So it was good, I guess. I mean, they just say that it went well. I guess that maybe did happen, or they just want us to feel better about the appetite for the Treasury notes, because we have to have them buying paper, right? When 90% of your budget is spent on four things, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on the debt, and you have to pay for everything else, well, you got to borrow it. I was looking at the 2022 numbers. We had $4.6 trillion of receipts coming into the U.S. coffer in 2022. 4.1 of it was mandatory spending. Crazy stuff, right? All right, let's get back to it. The release of the Fed minutes helped investor optimism that the potential for further rate hikes was now diminishing. Investor sentiment, and we'll talk about consumer confidence in just a few minutes with Rod, and also how the holiday season will shape up and what we expect from that. But investor sentiment was lifted by earnings results from mega cap and AI chip makers. Topped analyst expectations. I'll say AI, everyone's on the AI. It's like the dot-com thing almost back in the 2001 and 2 era, whenever, well, even the late 90s, I should say. Late 90s leading up to 2000 before the stock market blew up with the Fed chairman at the time saying this is crazy, basically. Exuberance, but AI, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how this all comes together over the next probably few years. It won't take that long because technology is moving so quick. But despite a higher turn in bond yields on the final half day of trading, stocks did retain their gains. Let's go back to the Fed for a minute. The minutes from the October 31st to November 1st meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee was released last week, provided a little insight into the decision not to raise rates and its thinking on future direction of interest rates. The minutes reflected concerns by committee members that inflation remained pretty high and may move higher. The minutes also reaffirmed the messaging of many Fed officials, including Fed Chairman Powell, that monetary policy must remain restrictive until they are convinced inflation will be on track, not at, but on track, for the Fed's 2% target. I think it's going to run hotter for a while. I think we all understand and feel like that's going to happen. They further said that future rate decisions will be based on fresh economic data, offering no indication, none, that a rate cut was forthcoming. As many analysts are increasingly anticipating, hoping for, wishing for, praying for a rate cut in 2024. So this week, we've had new home sales, consumer confidence. GDP was released yesterday, came in pretty good on Wednesday. And then here on Thursday, personal income outlays, jobless claims. And then Friday, it's a pretty good one. It's a manufacturing index. They call it the Institute for Supply Management Manufacturing Index. That gives us a good indication of what's happening in the production lines as well. All right, let's take a quick break. But first, let's thank Lance Like. I just sent him someone else this week. I've sent him two people in the last, including my best friends and his mother, over to see Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at 812-323-8300. And Kenny Bland Auctions, they're your full-service auction service. Man, start thinking about this for next year. They offer the pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Probably get you a nice little Christmas gift, too, while you're there. Let's take a break. Let's get Hot Rod on the phone. This is Your Money with David Hayes. So what do you do when you leave your show outline at your office and you have a radio show to do? You wing it. You get Hot Rod on the phone. That's what you do. So, Rod, I don't have my outline with me, and I know what I was going to talk to you about today, but I'm just going to have to do it from memory. First of all, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know you did, and we talked about that at the office and off to a busy week. Before you came on, we talked about last week, because last week, obviously, holiday shortened week, but we had some things happen that caused the market to stay strong throughout the week. Even at the end of the week when we had some bond yields jump up, the stocks still retained their weekly gains. So here we sit this new week. We had a lot of stuff. We had new home sales on Monday, consumer confidence on Tuesday. GDP came in pretty good on Wednesday, actually really very good. I think it was around 5.4, 5.9, something like that. And then we had jobless claims today. So let's start off with the first part of the week. New home sales. What's the numbers on those?
Yeah, you know, Dave, I don't have those new home sales in front of me. I believe, from what I recall, that they were down a little bit, and that's not a huge surprise.
No. To
see that kind of weakness out there in the home sales. One, this isn't typically the time of year in which you have a lot of home sales anyway, right around the holiday time. And then, of course, with rates being up, although people should probably start to see, if it hadn't already happened, should start to see some slightly lower mortgage rates because
the 10-year
it's dropped all the way down. I mean, pre-market, it was actually below 4.3.
Yeah.
It has ticked back up a little bit here during the day to 4.33. But, man, that's a far cry from just being a little bit over 5 probably 2 months ago.
Right.
So, that's taken a big drop. You did mention a couple of other things. The jobless claims, they came in 2,000 below estimate. So 220 was the estimate, 218 where it came in. So basically right about expectations. PCE was also out today, the personal consumption expenditures, which everyone has labeled as the Fed's favorite inflationary gauge. It basically came in dead on exactly what the estimates were. So you're still at a little over 3 on that. So there is still inflation within the marketplace, but it isn't going up. It also didn't go down this time. But, man, November, and obviously we are recording this on the last day of November, but November has been an extremely powerful rally pretty much across the board and even broadened out. And that's a little bit of what we've talked about on Glass's show, that here in the last couple of weeks, you have started to see it broadening. So when we first mentioned it on Glass's show, I think at that point in time, there were only 3 sectors in the S&P 500 of 11 that are tracked that were actually positive year to date. And then the last time we addressed it on Glass's show, which may have been Monday, because we didn't speak on Friday, so it was either this Monday or the past Monday, we are now up to, I think it was 6 of 11 sectors, maybe even 7 of 11 sectors. I get that report at the end of the week. We're now positive, which means you're broadening out. We're no longer being carried exclusively by the Magnificent Seven, which are 7 wonderful stocks. And as I said to Glass, I don't have any expectations that they're not still going to be up front with the leaders, but it most certainly is a much more healthy market when you have broad rallies versus very small concentrated rallies, no matter how big and powerful those companies may be.
Yeah, last week we had sentiment kind of boosted because earnings from leading mega cap AI-enabled chip makers that topped analyst expectations. Let's go back to interest rates for a second. You mentioned the 10-year Treasury. Folks, the 10-year Treasury is really what is the gauge for mortgage rates. So if a rate on the 10-year is at 4.3, historically, you add about 2 points to that, and that's where you end up with your mortgage rates. So they should be around, 6.3. Why are they not at 6.3? Because of the risk premium that's also now built in. What do I mean by that? Well, if the market expects people to have more difficulty paying their bills because their credit card balances are higher, debt on student loans are now being paid back again, all this kind of stuff, there's a risk that you might not be able to make your house payment, so the rate's a little bit higher. But to Rod's point, I think over the next 6 to 9 months, you'll see those interest rates on homes, get down into those low sixes. I don't think you're going to see fives because if the interest rate on the Treasury would have to get down around 3, and I don't see that happening anytime soon because the bond market tends to predict future growth and future inflation. And if you look at the yield curve right now, what I mean by that is the yield on a 2-year versus a 30-year. I mean, take a peek at it. It's very interesting to follow. So I think times are going to get better on that. All right, with the Fed, they came out, the minutes were released last week. Across the board, the members still remain pretty worried about stubborn inflation. The minutes also reaffirm the messaging of many Fed officials, including Fed Chairman Powell, that monetary policy must stay restrictive. And I love it when it comes down to the rate decisions in the future will be based on fresh data, offering no indication that a rate cut was forthcoming. But the market, like I said in the pregame before you came on, they're hoping, they're praying, they're expecting, I don't know what they're doing, but they are saying, we're going to get some rate cuts in 2024, and some are even saying in the first half of the year. I don't know about that. I think they're going to stay high for a little longer than that. But you know what? I don't know. They could turn on a dime. What's your feelings on that?
Yeah, well, one, I think the market is setting itself up for failure again, kind of like it did way back in the early part of this year and even at the end of 22, in which the market just was so dead set that the Fed was going to be done soon and cutting rates by the end of this year. That's what I kept saying last year is, look, if the Fed's cutting rates before the end of this year, there's something horribly wrong in the economy, and it's not something the market should be excited about. And yet the market was acting excited that we may see Fed cuts. It's the same thing heading into next year. So, yes, the market is beginning to price 3, possibly 4 Fed cuts next year, potentially the earliest one being in March. Once again, I'm going to say, unless the Fed is only choosing to leave the restrictive territory and settle in at a neutral interest rate, would I think that it's okay that the Fed cuts rates? Because typically the Fed is cutting rates because the economy is slowing down and it wants to stimulate it. And understand, our economy is like a massive tanker out on the sea. Don't just suddenly flip that thing around like you do a speedboat and go the opposite direction. So if the Fed begins to see that there is a deterioration in economic growth and they feel the need to stimulate, it's probably far worse than the data is actually telling us, which means that things aren't going to be positive. And the market just keeps this assumption that Fed rate cuts automatically equals strong growth. And it doesn't. Rate cuts don't automatically create demand. They set the table for demand, or they set the table for growth to be pursued if the demand is there. But if the demand isn't there, it doesn't matter how cheap rates are. You know, right now we've got a good situation in which unemployment is low. But it's one of the things we've talked about in the past cycles. When unemployment's high, it doesn't matter how low your interest rate is. If you don't have a job and you're not collecting a paycheck, mortgage rates can be at zero. You're still not buying a home because you have no way to make that monthly payment. So you actually have to have demand for lower interest rates to actually spur growth. So it is the right thing to do to stimulate. But we seem to have fallen into this trap and this assumption that the only way the market can go higher is if the Fed uses it with low interest rates. And Dave, you and I have been around this business a long time, and we've seen many years, if not even multiple decades, in which we had very good growth with interest rates right around where we're at right now.
Yeah.
You don't have to have zero federal funds rate to have growth. You have to have demand. You have to have a growing economy. You have to have people buying bigger ticket items to make those things happen.
You know, the other thing we have to be cautious of, or at least aware of, not maybe cautious of, but you're talking about, you know, higher interest rates, lower demand, but you also have to consider higher taxes coming in 2026. You know, our tax rates are going to go back to where they were before, so taxes are going to increase, because that's really what drove a lot of the growth, was deregulation and lower taxes. That's what kind of stimulated it in the beginning. Then we had the low interest rates. We had the pandemic happen and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so there's a lot of moving parts. I'm going to be tuning in tonight on Thursday night, this last day of November, watching Sean Hannity interview, or I guess moderate a debate between Ron DeSantis and Newsom. Did you see that was going to happen on Thursday night?
I had seen there was talk about it. I did not.
Oh, it's like the way they're promoting, it's like a UFC fight. I mean, it's like, I'm ready, you know, and it's like, I hope they come out and they like nose to nose each other. You couldn't have two more polar opposite thinkers than those two. So this could be really, really good. I was thinking about this, though, that 2024 is the presidential election. There's a lot that's going to go on in 2024. In 2025, you know, the election is 2024, but then you have a new administration. We have tax laws that are going to be expiring at the end of the year. A lot of different things going on. You know, by then maybe rates will start to trickle down and we'll be okay. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking for. I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm not going to watch Thursday night football. And she just kind of looked at me weird, because it's like, football's on again? Yeah, it's Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. And sometimes it's even, you know, other nights. But I'm like, no, I'm going to watch the DeSantis-Newsom battle at 9 o'clock on Fox. So she's excited, I'm sure, to watch that as well. I doubt it, but she might be. What else was I going to say? I think that's about it, Rod. I know we're heading in. Obviously, I started buying some Christmas stuff on Monday online. I didn't go into any stores. What's the outlook here for the Christmas season? I've got some opinions of what I think is going to happen, but what's the narrative?
Sure. Well, so far, at least the online shopping has come in at pretty high levels over last year, so that's a positive. As I said at class on Monday, I haven't really gotten many data points yet about the bricks and mortar stores and what they saw on Black Friday and early on. But the online shopping, the Cyber Monday, the Black Friday, all of those types of things have definitely done fairly well. And even from some of the comments of the retailers, which they reported their quarterly earnings right at the end of this past quarter, put the tail end. So they were in the early stages of seeing what kind of volume they were getting in the holiday shopping. Obviously, they didn't give massive reports,
right,
but they were at least able to give a little bit of guidance as to whether or not they were seeing some increased demand around the holiday shopping season. So I think all in all, once again, I don't think it's going to be record-breaking or we're going to set any brand new milestones per se, other than maybe online, and that's partially because of the shift away from the brick-and-mortar shopping to online. But total shopping, I don't think it's going to break any records. But there's no doubt it appears the consumer continues to consume. As we've discussed for a few months now, it's just a matter of whether or not it is all consumption on debt or it is a combination of debt and cash flow and savings, and whether or not they get over their skis on that debt side of things and it begins to rear its head next year.
We just need the grandparents to come out of the woodwork and buy for those grandbabies, and they always do. Rod, thanks for your time as always. We'll be listening to you on Glass in the Afternoon on Big Show Friday, and I'm hoping we'll have an announcement soon of the Indiana football coach, because December...
Actually, it just came out that they are saying that it is a finalized deal with James Madison head coach. So I don't know that he has signed anything, but I did see multiple sources putting that out, that it is a done deal between IU and, I think, Siginati is how you pronounce that last name.
Man.
James Madison coach.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I like about him, he has a great record as a head coach. Granted, James Madison is at the highest level he's ever coached, so it's been small schools. But I'm tired of hoping that a mediocre coach with a mediocre track record suddenly becomes a good coach at IU, which may be the toughest job in the Division I football to take over and turn into a winner. So I like the fact that this guy's record, something like 120-34, may not duplicate to the Power 5 level, but I'm willing to give him a shot and my support and see what he can do at a big-time program, because he's had an enormous amount of success at the small school.
All right, I'm sure we'll hear all about it on Glass in the Afternoon on Friday, Rod. Thanks so much.
You bet. Have a great show, Dave.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Year-end stuff. I just did a podcast on this, by the way, that you still have plenty of time to do, and you don't want it to go to waste. I always say never let a good loss go to waste. We'll be back and talk about that and more. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. What do you do when you don't have an outline? You finally ask Jim Inman to take a picture of it and send it to you via text, and I just quickly arrived. So we are back on track now, thank goodness. All right, so some of the things you definitely need to watch out for at the end of the year are phantom gains on mutual funds. So what does that mean? I own a mutual fund. It's not inside my IRA. This is the season where the distributions come out, the taxable distributions. They're required to send 90% of all the capital gains and dividends to you as a fund owner, no matter how long you've owned it. Now, the estimates are out there. So go quickly. Whatever fund family that you own, you can go there and look. So I just printed one off, and I brought it with me that... let's see, this particular fund from a very, very big, well-known fund family anticipates to pay a 9% capital gain this December. So 9% of the fund will be distributed. That it will be taxed as capital gains to you. Now, let's say you bought it back in September, the fund, and let's say it's even down right now. Probably isn't, but let's say it's down. You're still going to get taxed on that distribution there. So it is potentially possible that you could be down on a fund and be taxed on it. So just be aware of it, and it might throw you into a little bit of a tailspin if you were doing Roth conversions, trying to predict, you know, how much income you're going to have. And then also you need to pay the taxes on that. So if you pay the taxes, you're going to have to, you know, send an estimated payment in possibly if you didn't save enough or pay in enough already. But now don't sweat it, because you do have up until the middle of January to pay a fourth quarter distribution. But remember that pesky state of Indiana. If you're listening and live in the state of Indiana, which 95% of you listening do, you know, pay it, because they wanted you to anticipate how much your income was going to be in the fourth quarter and pay it evenly throughout the year. I'm still wrestling that dog right now for you guys, and I'll keep you informed as I go on. I promised two battles for you about 4 or 5 months ago. One, to figure out why the state of Indiana wants you to be like, you know, have a crystal ball on what your income is going to look like in the fourth quarter and then pay that tax throughout the year. All right, I'm still trying to figure that one out. No room. I've made some progress. But the second piece was, how come these brokerage firms are not paying you anything on your cash? I've lost that battle. They're just sticking their nose up at me. So you have to be really creative in what you do with that to try to do the best you can. But anyway, the other thing with the Fed, you should pay the tax in the quarter that it was recognized. So that's super important. So if you did a Roth conversion, you had some gains on funds you didn't know you were going to have, you make sure you make those payments to the IRS. Now, when we come back, I'll tell you how you can always avoid a penalty if you just do this one simple thing. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, one thing I was mentioned earlier when I just kind of let Rod go, but it's actually serious. So you have all these millennials that are now in their 30s and they're having kids. when they're having, you know, they've actually followed the path of what we've seen in America for quite some time. The most of them are having two, and the grandparents are goo goo gaga over them. And guess what? They're buying them everything. So the spending may not have to happen, the discretionary spending, from the parents, but the grandparents will fill that gap. The parents are doing the necessity spending, right? Making sure the diapers are bought, the formula's purchased, the, you know, leotards for gymnastics are purchased, all that kind of stuff, mouthpieces for football practice, you know, sneakers for their basketball team, whatever it might be, they are spending money. And I've told everyone, this reminds me of the 90s in a way, where we had a massive spending wave as the baby boomers were raising their kids, like, you know, like my dad raising me. And my dad was one of the latest baby boomers, like, or one of the first baby boomers, I should say. There was a bunch behind him. Guess what? The peak of the baby boom generation was born 1960, 1961. So they are in that early, you know, early 60s right now, and they have grandkids. And most of the grandkids are pretty little and young, and they're buying a lot of crap for them. And if you're a grandparent, you're just sitting there nodding your head as you're driving down the road listening to me. I know you are. I'm not a grandparent yet. Don't need to be one yet. My son won't be 20, even 23 until December 9th. And so I'm thinking I got maybe five good years before we have a grandkid. Although I'm really excited about that down the road, but definitely I want it to be down the road. Okay, how do you avoid a tax penalty? Very important to understand. Pay the state. Pay the state. They're greedy. They'll put liens on you and scare letters. They're scary. Pay them. Feds, they're a little easier going. They say, you know what? Pay us what you owe or 110% of what you owed last year. So I just did a podcast on some of this stuff, on lost harvesting, you know, never let a loss go to waste. So if you have securities that are not in an IRA, they're at a loss, you could sell them. You can rebuy another security. They just can't be the same or very much the same. I mean, they're pretty liberal with these rules. I mean, I can sell one energy company and go buy another one. I can sell a bond and go buy another bond. That's not a problem. But take the losses because, you know, once you take them, you've got them. Now, you can use those losses to offset gains in other areas that you have, or you just bank them. And one of the things that happens every year, you can take $3,000 off of your regular ordinary income. So that's a little bit of an arbitrage, right? Because capital gains are taxed for most people, max it out around 15%. Some 20, but it's got to be big gains, but 15. And then you can offset $3,000 against ordinary income that might be taxed at 37%. That's a pretty good deal, but it's only $3,000. And you know what's crazy about that? There's certain things in our tax law that has been indexed with inflation, things that have not. This is one that's not. It's been $3,000 ever since I paid attention to this stuff. So call it 30 years ago. It'd be nice if you could write $5,000 off against regular income, but it's the way it is right now. But never let a good loss go to waste. Take it, take it, take it. All right. And then the 110% rule, just pay us 110% of what you owed last year. Now, it's not the money where at the end of the form they say you owe $2,000 more. No, it's total tax owed. So look at that. Make sure you paid 110% in, and then you're fine. And that happens a lot. Like for me personally and a friend of mine, we sold a piece of real estate, made a bunch of money, owe a bunch of tax. Well, I didn't want to send that great big tax check in back in October when we sold it. We thought, well, let's just pay in 110% of what we paid in last year. We'll keep that money. And we did. And we put it into a high yielding CD at a bank. And the money that it generated, he and I decided we would give the interest earned on that money to a particular mission that we both support. So that's what we're going to do. And I would much rather give that mission the money than the feds the money, right? I think it's more useful in their hands than it would be in the hands of the United States government. So anyway, I'm just saying, but this not trying to sound righteous, just trying to sound right. I guess that's maybe the best way to put it. All right, we're going to get Josh Norris on the phone here in just a few minutes, but I had a couple more things. Of course, when you don't have an outline, you're trying to read off your phone and you're 53 years old and your eyeballs don't work like they should. I want to make sure I cover all the bases in there. 110%. Offset them. You have until mid-January. Oh, yeah, I got another one here. What if you can't pay the money? I don't have that kind of money. the IRS may penalize you. Sometimes they're pretty good about saying, okay, I know you, we'll let you go this one time. But you can set up payment plans with the IRS. They're actually pretty easy to do. You can go online. Let's say you owe them like 50 grand. I mean, you're like, man, I don't have 50 grand to pay them for whatever reason. You can go on and say, okay, for the next 6 months, I'll pay you this. And it's just like an automatic yes. Now, if you owe more than I think is maybe 25 or 50, then you have to get it, go through an actual person. But if you owe money that you can't afford to pay right away, go to irs.gov and set up a payment plan. It's super easy. I've done it before over my years when something caught me off guard many, many years ago. And yeah, it was pretty good. And the interest rate that they charge was not bad. Now, I received a notice the other day that their interest rate now, starting in January, is going to be like 7 or 8%. So yeah, it's like bank money now. So anyway, just another way to pay the tax if you don't have it. You don't have to freak out about it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get Josh Norris on the phone. He is the Medicare guru down at CFCI, and he is at the tail end of open enrollment. So we'll get his take on what's going on and if it's too late to do something and all the stuff in between. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Seven days left before open enrollment comes to an end. The Medicare guru down at CFCI, Josh Norris, who's been doing this. How many years, Josh, have you been doing Medicare and the supplements and Advantage plans and dental plans and vision plans and all the stuff that people get super confused about as they approach that ripe age of 65?
Yeah, I'd say about 10 years now.
10 years. So you're only, that puts you, that means you started when you were 12? If I do the math. Yep, 12. Good job. A little prodigy on our hands here. So I know you've been busy. I've seen you in and out of the big room on and off every day during, especially last month. I mean, people typically do wait till the last minute to do things, but here we are 7 days away. Tell us what's going on in the world, because you told me last year there's been a pretty significant shift from the old supplement plans to the Advantage plans. And let's talk about first real quickly. I'll just explain this to people. So you go on Medicare when you're 65. You're going to be on Part A, and that's for like hospital visits and stuff like that. Part B, you pay for that. It's about $170 for most people a month. If you're on Social Security, it comes out of your check. That's your doctor visits, your outpatient, stuff like that. But then you have deductibles, and you have some copays, you have dental, you have vision, you have drugs. So you have to pick up some kind of a supplement or something to cover these other out-of-pocket expenses. At least you should. So that's sort of the basis of it all. So, Josh, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, this was actually the first year. Yeah, so you can do that. You can get a supplement to go along with original Medicare and then a standalone drug plan, or you can hop over to an Advantage plan, which is kind of like a Medicare alternative, having all your benefits in one plan and some extra benefits in there, like dental, vision, hearing and stuff. And then, but you pay as you go with those plans. This was actually, I think somewhere I read that this is the first time Advantage plans outpaced the supplements this year. I think more people went with it. Was, you know, it's like 51% to 49%. It's pretty close, but it looks like Advantage plans are, you know, they're getting more and more attractive with their benefits, and their max out of pockets are relatively reasonable. So I think more and more people are just becoming, you know, interested in them and wanting to try them out. And overall, I have clients that have Advantage plans and they've been pleased with them. So it's definitely a shift in the industry for sure. So it'd be interesting to see what happens, you know, moving forward next year for 2024. This is actually going to be the first year the most people have ever turned 65 in the history of our country. So there's the baby boomers are definitely coming of age.
11,500 people a day turn 65 in America right now.
Yeah.
Up from 10,000 just a few years ago. Yeah, it's the peak of the boomers were born 1960 to 61-ish. So that's the wave's going to continue for the next several years before it starts to roll the other way. So we're in open enrollment period. So what does that even mean?
Well, that means that people can make changes to, you know, if they, their drug plans, you know, if they had a change in their drug needs, they can change the prescription drug plan. If they're in an advantage plan, they can, you know, hop over to a different advantage plan that may be more attractive. Or, you know, if they're on a supplement with a drug plan, they can say, you know what, these advantage plans look pretty cool. Let me go back to, let me go get that advantage plan and try that out. So, you know, just been sitting down with a lot of people who, you know, just doing reviews. You know, a lot of times plans can change. Their needs may not change, but their plan changes, like the premium goes up a lot or something changes with the benefits or the formulary. So, you know, you gotta, it's important to review that and make a change. I sat in front of one gentleman who came in for a review and found that the current, the plan that he was currently on wasn't going to cover one of his really, you know, expensive drugs for next year. So that was a big, I'm glad he came in. I'm glad we caught that. And then, so we got him switched over to a plan that, that, that will cover it for 2024.
So folks, if you're on Medicare, you should review it. And there's still 6-7 days to go. Josh has the bandwidth. Didn't ask you, but I'm assuming you have some bandwidth if you need, someone needs some help. And you go to CFCI.us and go to our associates. You'll see Josh's name. Click it. You can contact him directly or through the office either way. I know Advantage plans. Well, let's talk about cost, because that probably is one of the big drivers of why Advantage plans have taken off, because people, you know, have less money to spend right now. Inflation, but let's talk about cost.
Well, you know, compared to, you know, like a supplement, you know, it, as people get older that have supplements, they get more expensive. You know, you're talking about being in the $200 a month in premium, $250 a month. I've sat in front of some people that are paying $300 a month in premium for their supplements. So in those cases, it can make a lot of sense to switch over to an Advantage plan with that are $0. All you do is pay that Part B Medicare premium that you referenced earlier when you first introed me, that 170 for 2024, it's going to be 175 a month. So Advantage plans, all you do is pay that 175 a month. That's it. And then you have full major medical benefits. You have the old gambit, but you just pay as you go. You know, you have co-pays when you see your doctors, co-pays if you're hospitalized, and, but the plans have a max out of pocket limit. They have a cap, worst case scenario cap, I call it. So, and, that are usually in the mid 3,000s. You know, worst case scenario with plans, you're going to be out of pocket $3,700, $3,900. If that's if you have a really bad year health wise, you got to have a bad year health wise to meet that max out of pocket in an Advantage plan. But in terms of premium, you're only looking at paying $175 a month, as compared to, you know, having supplemental and a drug plan, you're looking at spending over, you know, $300-$350 a month easy
between the two. Right, right.
Yeah.
With the Advantage plan, I mean, you don't have to piecemeal it like you do with a supplement. And I know the other thing that we used to talk about was if you traveled a lot, if you had foreign travel and you had a supplement, that was more of a universal type of plan with Medicare.
Yeah.
And the Advantage plans were more like a preferred provider network, like what most people are in, like they're in a network. Has that changed at all, or is that still the same?
I mean, it's still the same, you know, the Advantage plans still consist of that network of, you know, preferred in-network providers versus out-of-network providers, but they definitely have become way more snowbird friendly. I would say, you know, like the people who are going to go to Florida or the Carolinas or, you know, Arizona for a couple months, it's they've really have for the most part solved those issues.
Good. Yeah, and that so cost and also now more flexibility. The Advantage move is on, and Josh Norris, folks, is there to help you. The Medicare guru at our office, and you can reach him again at cfci.us, like United States. Go to our associates. Go right down to see Josh directly. You can go through Contact Us. It just has to go through another set of fingers, which is probably Jim Inman's. But if you go directly to Josh, he can hook you up. You can do a video conference. He can do a phone call. You can come by the office and see him. So whether it's you're already a Josh client or not, there is no cost. I mean, there is no cost. The insurance companies pay the fee to have Josh's services available. It's no more expensive to have Josh take care of it and look things things through for you than you to jump on some website or call some 800 number on the screen. I was watching TV really late last night. Old people must stay up really late because I could not go to sleep at around 12:30 at night. And there was Medicare ad after Medicare ad after Medicare ad on supplements. Like, call this number. No, call this number. So, and it's been pretty famous people were pitching them too as well. So, Josh, great job. I should have had you on more throughout the Medicare open enrollment period, but we didn't. But we had 7 days left, so I want to get you on now. So thanks so much.
Yep.
All right, Josh. Yep. We'll see you back at the ranch. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap it all up. It's Your Money with David Hayes. So as my text stream was blowing up as we're doing the show today, it looks like the James Madison guy is the new coach at Indiana University. I don't know that IU's officially announced it as I'm recording the show. A little earlier in the day on a beautiful Thursday. It was a beautiful day, windy as heck, but it was nice. I was shocked that I didn't have to wear a heavy coat today. Man, I'm getting tired of the cold. I'm getting old, right? I hate cold weather. Hate it. All right, I don't even know what's on next week's show since I don't have my outline. I've been tired of reading the text that Jim sent me, so I'm just like, come on, Josh, pull us through this one, and I'll take us down the home stretch for the last one. But that being said, I'm going to have a great weekend. We're going down to Tennessee for the Colts game on Sunday. Monday, I'll be getting on a bird and flying down to Orlando for a short conference. I'll be there Monday morning for an evening late afternoon start, all day Tuesday, half day Wednesday, back Wednesday night. So I will be back here in the studio on Thursday. I promise you that. I believe I have a guest lined up, but like I said, I don't have my outline with me, so I can't tell you who it is. Even though it's taped to my door at the office, I should know, because I like to look up every day. I'm a very visual person. I don't like stuff on my phone. I like to see it. I mean, you should see my office. Paperwork's everywhere. Probably don't need half of it, but it's there in case I need it kind of thing. But anyway, that being said, I hope you enjoyed today's show. I know it was kind of a variety of things. We had my new podcast coming out on Monday, which will be all about the tax stuff at the end of the year. We get into the Roth conversions. We get into some really good stuff. So if you see a notice come through about the podcast 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win, that was a mic jumper right there, guaranteed. Make sure you listen. I think it was only 13 minutes long when I recorded it. So, yeah, I've tried to make them short and easy and interesting to listen to. So I think it was number 52 that we put out. I've been trying to do one that went out every 2 weeks as I kind of restarted back once I got my momentum back in me. And hopefully there's a lot more to come. I'm going to expand it into some different topics, but with 2024 being an election year, I think there's going to be a lot to talk about when it comes to tax legislation, what it means to you and your family and your future. So keep your eyes open for that email to come through, or just go over to Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts and see if you can look up 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. Has a big football and a big, you know, tax thing, getting smashed by a football, kind of aggressive looking, beautiful white cover to the book and all that. So anyway, check it out if you can. Hey, I hope everyone has a great weekend. Go Colts, and good luck to our new coach for the Indiana Hoosiers, and hopefully he can re-recruit some of the guys that jumped in the portal, because some of the guys that jumped in are some of our best guys. So that's all I have to say about that. Listen to Glass in the Afternoon on Friday. I'm sure you'll hear a lot about it then. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.